This week on the Ocean Cruises podcast, we are speaking with Roberta and Duca from the YouTube sailing and DIY channel Odd Life Crafting. Roberta and Duca are from Brazil and have been living an alternative lifestyle for nearly 10 years. They started producing videos of their container home boat before purchasing their first floating home. They recently bought a neglected 12-meter steel boat that had been on the hard for 20 years. They've completed a total refit of the boat, which has taken them over 2 years. They have now started their cruising life and have recently been spending time in their home country of Brazil, hopping between anchorages, and this coming season they will be cruising north into the Caribbean to get more experience and some passage miles. To follow Roberta and Duca's journey, check out their YouTube channel, Odd Life Crafting. You can support the podcast on Patreon and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, watch the interviews on YouTube, and download the audio on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And I thought I needed money because the original plan was to build a boat from scratch. And I'm like, I don't have enough money to build a boat. And then if I finish university, I'll have the money. And if I finish the master's degree, I'll have the money. And then I'm like, it's late now. You know, 4 years passed by. So many YouTube channels pop up. So many of them grew. So many of them made a living out of that. And we're late. There's no way we can do that now because we lost the train, basically. I thought that was my idea. And on that day in Indonesia, I'm like, late is in a year from now. Late is 2 years from now. I mean, of course, it's not as easy as could be 4 years ago. There's a lot more competition, supposedly. I don't see it as competition, but a lot more, you know, it's somehow if you have like 2,000 YouTube sailing channels to pop up in the search or on the suggestion, you need somehow, you need to differentiate from others, of course.
Yeah,
and I'm like, so.
No, then we found out Gone with the Winds.
Yeah,
and Duca said, yeah. "See, this couple started with a motorhome, and then they changed to sail, and it worked. So yeah. Let's start with something else."
Yeah, so I basically, it's funny because if we say that to some people, they say like, "So you just made a YouTube channel to make money or just to make a job?" No, it's not true. That was my really, it's like my full time dream for years to make documentaries, but. I have a business degree and an engineering degree. I know that you need to make money in order to survive. That's it. You need to pay for food. You need to pay for expenses. You need to be a YouTube channel need to pay for itself at least. Otherwise, it won't exist for long. So we created a long-term plan in order to get to where we are right now. And that was done from day zero, 100%. We didn't start as a sailing channel. So yeah, we didn't start as a sailing channel. Yeah. So basically,
yeah, you always wanted to do documentaries. You basically do documentaries now.
Yeah.
And you wanted to incorporate that into your life and earn money. I mean,
yeah.
You know, nobody does these things for free because they take hours and hours. You know, it's a lot of work.
The funny thing is the channel evolved during time. So we started as filming this trip. Basically, we were like, we need to start with something. We need to have like a portfolio of videos in order to grow a channel. We cannot like have one good video that someone is going to watch and be like, oh, is there anything else? No, there's nothing else. So I'm like, we need to start somewhere. And we created a channel based in seasons in order to achieve what we want. So like we do one season, this trip. We go back to Brazil, we do another season on this and this and this and this. And hopefully if the channel grows, we are going to make enough money to have a boat and sail the world. That's the goal.
Nice.
So we're like, how can we create seasons that are related to each other, but at the same time, we actually like, it's not bullshit, we actually do like what we do, but takes us from, you know, all the way to where we want. And since the beginning, I always was interested in metal boats, steel or aluminum boats. So I'm like, if we want to build a metal boat, we need to learn how to weld, how to work, how to use tools. I never use any tools in my life, Roberto. Neither. So like,
I didn't know even the name.
So I thought like, we don't have enough money to build a boat, but we have enough money to build a house. So how about we go back to Brazil? We found a free land, like on our family. We asked for a little piece of our family's land and just to do this experiment. And we buy a shipping container. We buy all the tools and we build a shipping container house. If the channel goes well, we can build a boat next to the house. We move in the house, we live full time in the house, and we build a boat next to the house. If this works, and then we sail the world with the boat, and we have a house back on our hometown. That was the plan. Of course, plans change a lot along the way. But that was like the vision that we had.
I mean, it more or less worked out.
Yeah, somehow. I mean, changed it a little. We don't own the house anymore, for example.
I wanted to ask about, you know, I think that was a long time ago. I do all my own construction. I've bought and sold houses. I do all my own work. And I always watch Tiny Home Living on YouTube. Yeah. And I watched some of your guys' videos like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah. It was a long time ago about the steel container home that you built. And I think it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, something like that. You popped up. I was like, oh, no way. They were doing the tiny home. And I remembered your videos from that. You did an amazing job with that. It was really good. Like,
We never finished it, though.
It's a great design. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask, because you stopped doing videos in it. I was really disappointed.
the thing was by... things took a turn without, we didn't expect that. The thing is, when we started the house, we couldn't find a piece of land that we could build a boat next to it. The only land we found for free was my dad's land that's on the top of a hill. That means we could not take a boat away from down the hill. There's no way we could build a boat there. So then things start taking a turn. Like at one point we're like, we need to do it here. We have no option. So we start building the house. At one point, we fell in love with the house enough to not even want a boat anymore, to be honest, for a little while, not too long. And then, of course, the dream of having a boat start coming back, and then we start searching, like we never stopped searching for like designs and layouts to buy, you know, like boat projects to buy. And sometimes I would see some old boats, and I found a dream boat online for sale, and then someone bought my dream boat and brought to a hometown. And then I lost the dream boat. And then I saw this guy trying to sell the boat. Then I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to buy that boat. But what happens is was not the right timing. We had not money yet. We were making a little bit with the channel, but not enough to build a boat. And at least I was waiting. I don't know if you know this story, but it's a long story. And that's the reason why our channel is called Odd Life, is because a friend of my dad from high school, when he was an exchange student in the U.S., he was like an uncle for me. And he died out of a heart attack when he was 53. And he put me on his last will. So I knew I was going to get some money from that. I had no idea how much. Could be $1,000, could be $50,000. But I knew since day zero, since Indonesia, I'm like, any money I get from my dad's friend is going to go towards the channel and towards a boat. So that's why we call Odd Life, because his name was Odd.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so basically...
It was the person that taught Duca how to speak English, and he had always the best camera, so Duca was into cameras since
I met him when I was 10 years old. So I met him when I was 10, and he started coming to Brazil every single year when I was 10. And back then, no foreigners would come to our hometown. And he was like, as Robert said, the guy with like a nice Nikon and all the best cameras that I would never see any other place. So that's how I fell in love with photography, was with him, and that's who taught me English also. So then I'm like, he would be really proud if we had a channel called Odd. That's his name. So we called the channel Odd.
And the boat.
And the boat Odd. That was, but when I found this dream boat of mine that I was dreaming even before Australia, that was a crazy thing because it was like a design that I really wanted to build. It was like 43-foot steel boat that I wanted to build. And I found just the hull for sale. Someone built the hull professionally, really well built. He had a mast bought. An engine bought, all the hatches, all the wood for the interior. It just needs work. I'm like, that's the
perfect
project. That's our project, exactly. Right? But he put for sale, and I'm like, I'm not even going to talk to him because, you know, he's not going to sell. It's too expensive. No one's going to buy. And a month later, the ad disappeared from the internet. I'm like, fuck, I just lost the boat. And then I wait for a month, and I'm like, I'm going to call the guy just to check how much he sold, who he sold for. And then I called a guy that was a friend of a friend. And he was like, oh, so you sold your boat. What happened? Who bought the boat? And he was like, no, I didn't sell. Just expired the ad. I'm like, what the fuck? I shouldn't have called. So why? Are you interested? I'm like, yeah, I'm interested. But that was like not the right timing. We were like, you know, 70% in the house done. We need like 30%. We need the money to come that we didn't have yet. So on that week that I, by mistake, started like discussing about prices, we got the money from the U.S. That was like $35,000. We sold half of our old boat that we had a partner. That was another, I don't know, $10,000. And out of nowhere, we came from someone that we were like someone that had no money to buy this boat, and we became someone that actually could buy this boat. I'm like, fuck, it's not the right time, but we're going to do it. We're going to quit the house and we're going to buy this boat.
Yeah, enough stars aligned. You go for it at that point.
but the crazy thing is, after a month discussing the price with the guy, and I'm like, I'm really serious. We're not joking around. We want to buy your boat. The day we were supposed to buy the boat, he comes to the shipping container and he's like, I cannot sell my boat. My boat's my dream. I have no money. I have no job. My company just went bankrupt. I have no money to finish, but I cannot. My wife, when she heard that you guys were actually going to buy the boat, she didn't let me sell the boat. Like, nice. He was like, I cannot sleep for a month already because we were talking about selling the boat. I'm like, nice. Now you start sleeping and I stop sleeping because, you know, like, I told all my friends, and I'm not mad with the guy. He's a friend, of course, now. He's a nice guy. And I could not buy the boat. Yeah, we just didn't buy the boat. And a friend of ours come up with a second boat that actually a month before, he's like, oh, there's this other boat. I'm like, no, I don't even want to see it. I have my dream boat already. I'm going to buy this other 43-foot boat to finish. And he's like, no, but these boats are not. I'm like, no. Don't show me. I'm in love already. You know, I have the boat. After a month, he's like, oh, but you remember that boat that I told you? I'm like, oh, can I see the picture? So I get the picture. I'm like, oh, not bad. And he's like, yeah, this boat been sitting on the harbor for 7 years. And it's from a friend of a friend that he doesn't want to sell. But as he's a friend of a friend, if you tell him the right story, you might be able to buy the boat from him. I'm like,
right, that's a long shot.
Yeah, so I'm like, this boat is like in São Paulo, that means 700 kilometers away. We are going to go to São Paulo in 3 months from now to go to a concert. So don't give me his number, because if you give me his number, I'm going to call next week. I know myself. Hold his number, and the day before I travel, I'm going to get the number with you, and then I'll call him. So the day before the trip, 3 months later, you know, like sitting calm, waiting for this moment, I send him a message like, hey, I'm Duca. I'm friends with this friend that knows you. And he said that you have a boat that you might want to sell, and I have a project. Do you want to sell the boat to me? And the truth is, I use my friend as a learning person to buy the boat, because he tried to buy the boat before.
Right.
Don't tell him I told you. Or no one tell him that I told you that.
He's going to know it.
he gets mad. No. He gets mad if I say that he tried to buy the boat, but the owner didn't sell the boat to him. But the reality is, it was not the right boat for him. So he called up the guy.
So like, it works out.
So he called the guy. He's like, oh, my friend said you have a boat that's it's a good fit for me. And the guy was like, so what do you want to do? Oh, I don't have much time. I'm a doctor. I want to sail during the weekends. And I want to see if you have someone to fix the boat before I bring to my hometown. And maybe in 2 years, I'll take a gap year to say. And he's like, no, you want to hire someone to fix my boat without you being here? No, it's not your boat. The boat's not for you. He didn't want to sell. So when I contact the guy, I'm like, hey, I have a project. Me and my wife, we are building a shipping container house by ourselves. Our next project, we want to build a boat, and we want to do by ourselves. We want to move in the boat when it's done. We want to travel the world and blah, 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 blah. He's like, no, come in, we talk.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know the rest.
It was not 7 years. It was 22 years on the hard.
Yeah, I mean, stories change. I mean, like, it's crazy. Yeah, it was like, he's like, no, I think it's like 10 years, maybe 15. And then we go to the marina, and it's like 22, literally 22 years sitting on the hard.
Wow. Time has flown by for that guy. He just lost 10 years of his life somewhere.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is, the really crazy thing is, like, when we sat in town, because we were so lucky. The place where the boat was, Robert's sister owns an apartment on that town. I never been there before. And she owns an apartment 15 minutes from the boatyard. So we had a place to crash. We spent like a week waiting for the guy to come to town to show us the boat, because he wouldn't allow us inside the boat without him. And for 1 week, we just sat on the couch and looked at the wall until we realized, oh, but this boat, the design is exactly the same from a book that we read 7 years ago. So let's read again the book. And when I open up the cover of the book, I gave to her this book 7 years before, saying, one day we're going to travel the world on a boat called Odd. Back then, we had no idea the guy was going to die. He was going to give me some money. We were going to have a YouTube channel called Odd. And we had no idea about anything.
But we just liked the name.
But that was like our best book. And that was like one of our favorite books. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like meant to be.
The same design.
So we're like, so I read the book again. I'm like, fuck, that's the boat. I'm like, that's it. That's the boat. And a week later, we go to the boat. And it's like, the first thing we opened the boat. It was like, what? This is not 22 years here. It's like brand new. Like the interior was just like.
No, we didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything to the interior.
The inside was great.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's it. We are going to buy this boat. We don't have enough money. Literally, like, I mean, like, we had the money to buy and a little bit to start a refit. But somehow we're going to make it work. My family got crazy. My dad got crazy. Like, wow, you promised everyone you're going to build a house and now you're not even done. You're going to quit the house. Like, dad, is this an opportunity? It happened. And you're going to take the chance. That's it. I mean, like, we need to take the risk. That's our dream. We need to take the risk. And the channel, at this point, we had, like, 50,000 subscribers after like almost 2 years working on the channel. We were working on the channel for 2 years already. Mm-hmm. And the boat was a huge risk. I mean, like, we started the refit with 1/3 of the money that we actually spent on the refit.
Whoa. Okay.
So we had, I would say, like $50,000, like $50,000 for the refit. And we spent like three times that. But we were like, it's going to work out somehow. I'm not sure how, but it's going to work out. And in 6 months on the refit, we went from, no, I mean like 3 months.
2 months.
Two, 3 months. I think 3 months went from 50,000 subscribers to 100,000 subscribers. So that means it was like a good chance. Somehow it worked. Like,
and in the end, because dad asked for the house to use as a deposit to finish the house in the future.
That was the good plan. I mean, like, okay. you know when you have an idea? And someone else had the same idea before you, and you wait to tell them the idea before, after the. So basically, I was like, the original plan was to have a house in our hometown. So when we come to visit the family, we have a place to stay. And then we realized owning a house that you come for 2 weeks a year, 3 weeks a year, that means these 3 weeks you're going to be working on fixing the house because it's going to be closed for 11 months. So it's not a good math. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if I could rent as an Airbnb, good. But the land is right on my dad's office. So he has his chickens, he has his dogs, he has his company there. There's no way I can rent the house where it is. So it was all wrong. So I'm like, if I give the house to my dad as a gift, he can finish the house and then we can borrow the house when we need.
So that's what's happened to it. Is he finished it?
No, he didn't finish yet, but the plan was like, I talk to him, I give to him, he can use full year, like 11 months a year, and we just use 1 month. That's the deal.
Right.
You don't need to pay. It's for free. It's yours. I don't own anymore. The responsibility of fixing is yours. It's not mine, but you let me use whenever I need. But before I told him the idea, he came to ask like, oh, so what's going to happen to the house? Are you guys finishing the house? What's your plan? Because we are just moving out of the apartment and moving to the beach. With COVID, he left the town and went to the beach, the summer place.
Oh, okay.
Full time. So he rented his apartment. He don't own he don't live on his apartment anymore. And he had no space to put a lot of his stuff. He's like, can I use to put, you know, some of my stuff on your house? I'm like, nope, you can't, because the house is not mine. I want to give you the house. So you can have the house and you can do whatever you want, as far as we can use whenever we want. And that's the deal. We gave the house to him. So we don't own the house anymore.
Right. But what you've got in return is what you always wanted. So it worked out.
Makes more sense. Yeah. And the truth is, the house in a long term for him is good because he has a company that one of the offices is like 20 meters away from the house. And the other office is in like 3 hours away from in another city. So some of his employees many times come from meetings on the other office and have no place to stay. So the company pay for hotel for them. So owning a small house, a tiny house, means they don't need to use hotels anymore. They can stay on the tiny house,
office. They already can stay because we have the bed and there is already a bathroom and a kitchen on the same land. So they can already use the house.
Yeah. And we are free. I mean, like, I wouldn't feel as free as we feel right now if we knew we own a house in our hometown. We don't have anything anymore. That's it.
Oh, it definitely holds you back. without a doubt. I mean, we've gone through phases in our life of having like lots of properties, renting them and then selling them. And now we've got two houses on one property. We do one on Airbnb, which is amazing. And we've been doing it. But they are a headache. And it's like when we're basically taking off next year full time, we're getting our bigger boat within a month, I think. And the idea of just having like a property there and you need to fix it if it breaks and there's people in it and they might damage it and then you need to deal with the usual bullshit. It's like, it is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a job. And it's just on your shoulders all the time as well. Do you know what I mean? So maybe it all works out perfectly for you.
Yeah. And even more when it's in your dad's land, because
in the future is going
to
be ours.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. The last time we went to our hometown was. Yeah, but I mean, like, the last time we went to our hometown was in Christmas, over Christmas. And we didn't go back since Christmas. I'm 100% sure if we still own the house, he would be pressuring us to go back to take care of the house.
Yeah.
Every single month. He would be like, so, what's up? You built a house in my land and now you just, you know, left here and
abandoned
there's
it.
A lot of, you know, like, you need to come take care of the house. So now we don't have this pressure. That's the thing. It's not our house.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad I found out what happened to that house because there was a little story that I was following ages ago.
We actually did a post on our website talking about this.
Yeah.
So I put the link for the...
Yeah, the full explanation. Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like, plans change. The original plan was to go to the boat, fix the boat in 4 months, not the whole thing, but, like, do the basics so we could sail the boat to our hometown. And then we would live on the boat on the yacht club and we could work on the house. When we finished the house, we set sail. But the problem is, when we got to this other city to fix the boat, we realized that being away from my hometown was good for the project because we had nothing else to do, only the repeat. Yeah. When you live on the same place for 37 years, you have too many roots. You have too many friends. You have too many parties. You have too many like family lunches, like Sunday lunch or family meetings or whatever. And when you are by yourself on a commitment of finishing a boat, you work so much more.
Yeah,
and that was good for the boat. And we were in a really good town for fixing, like maybe like the main city in Brazil to refit a boat with all the welders, all the supplies, everything in the same place. So we're like, no, let's do the full refit here. That's it.
Yeah, good call. I mean, like, I know from experience as well, because I kept my previous boat at a marina that was like 10 minutes away from where I live. And then I moved it to a better marina with nicer anchorages close by, 2 hours away. And when I've worked on my boat, when it was at the further marina, I'd go there and I'd just do like a 3 days solid. Like I'd wake up, I'd feed myself to fuel the work. And then I would just go to sleep when I needed to go to sleep. Whereas when it's 10 minutes away, it's like, oh, I'll go home, I'll come back, maybe I won't go, I'll go there for lunch, I'll see a friend.
you go home to have lunch and take way too long. You go home to have lunch and you take like 3-4 hours instead of half an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good to know how that story turned out. You know, like the way this journey has progressed for you guys, it's like, it's crazy. It's like you've gone 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 3 steps forward, 4 steps back, 3 steps forward. Do you know what I mean? You just kept on going.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original idea has always been there and you have managed to get there just with a lot of that.
There's even more turns. It's crazy. I mean, like, I think to start a YouTube channel nowadays, you need to be a little bit creative on the way you do. Otherwise, it's way too hard to make a living out of it. I mean, having a channel is one thing. Making a channel from zero to become your full-time job, knowing that you rely on that as a full-time job. We started the channel dreaming already as a... Not dreaming. I mean, like, we never worked since we started the channel on something else. Since day zero, that's it. We started the channel to be our job. Because we love what we want to do, but it's too much work to do in parallel with something else. I could not do what we do if we had an extra job. I just couldn't do it. My dream would become something that makes me tired because I'm already tired from there. I couldn't do it. So we tried to. I'm going to tell one quick story that we never told, I think, anyone, that we actually had a project prior to that in order to make the channel work. I never told because I really, even before the house, before everything.
What was it?
Since Indonesia, the first project wasn't the YouTube channel. We had a project before that we started in order to grow the YouTube channel.
Okay.
I never told because I might one day want to write a book about that because I think it's a really cool story. We went
well, you
to
have to tell me now. Come on.
Yeah, I'll tell on the way to Indonesia. We stopped in New Zealand first. In between Australia and Indonesia, we stopped in New Zealand because we needed to leave Australia because of visa. And we bought a ticket from Brazil to Brazil in 4 months, after 4 months from New Zealand, because it was like we have friends in New Zealand. We have a place to leave all our stuff and we can travel light. And then we come back. And if we decide to go to Brazil, we go to Brazil. So we save a ticket just to guarantee that if we decide to go back to Brazil, we have a ticket.
Nice.
On the way in New Zealand, we stopped to visit a friend that I was a roommate with him in Colorado back in 2004. I was a lift operator in Keystone, Colorado in 2004. That was, I don't know, 18 years ago. So I had this friend from New Zealand in the US. He was from New Zealand, living in the US. And I always said, one day I'm going to visit you. And he never believed it. And 18 years later, we show up. I don't know, like not 18, like maybe 16 years later, we show up in his house. And we were talking to him about the ideas that we want, like the possibilities of what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy never went to university, but he created a social network, like a Facebook for kids, for childhood schools when he was really young. And he did so well. He has a startup and he did like really, really well. And he still is doing really well with the same company that's called Story Park. So Story Park is basically a Facebook to communicate school, kid, family, grandfathers, and the whole chain.
Nice.
And nowadays, I don't know the number, but he has maybe 1,000 schools using his system or something. I'm not sure the number, but like in the US, in Europe, in New Zealand, everywhere. And nice. I was talking about the ideas with him, and he's like, yeah, you are thinking too much ahead. And I always had this problem. Like on the first documentary, I left Brazil to work for 1 year shooting a documentary, to come back to Brazil, to edit for 6 months, to maybe launch in 2 years. Is my documentary in 2 years going to be important as could be today? Are people going to be interested on the same thing 2 years from now? No one knows. How can you know that in 2 years, it's still relevant what is relevant today? No one knows. And I always had this problem of thinking too much ahead. I'm going to do this in 6 months and then in 10 months. And then in 3 years, I'm going to have what I want. And I'm like, no, that's wrong. So when we were in Bali, this got stuck in my mind. Like we're doing something wrong because we had ideas. So that's it. We're going to do a YouTube channel. So we are going to wait for another 2 months that we're going to finish our trip. We go back to Brazil. We find a land. That means like 3-4 months. And then we start building. And after 2 months, we launch our first video. That means we're going to launch our first video in like 7 months, maybe a year. I'm like, are people going to still be interested in shipping container house a year from now? I have no idea. Right now, I know they are. How can I guarantee that people are going to be still interested? So I'm like, we need to take a few steps back. What can we do today that can help our project in the future? So let's start a season about the trip itself, how we created a channel. So basically, our first 5 episodes are about how we came up with the idea of creating a channel. How I went to the master's degree, how I quit my master's degree, how we went to Indonesia. The full story about what I told you about going to Indonesia. And I'm like, but this is still too far ahead because we're going to film for 2 months. We're going to go. It doesn't make sense. We need to find something before that. So let's create an Instagram account about what we want to do in the future.
Okay.
So we started to create the brand with an Instagram account even before having a YouTube channel, knowing that it would become a YouTube channel. So for the trip, we commit to post every single day of the trip, like 1 or 2 times a day, every single day. And the trip became a job instead of just a trip from that day on. And on the end of the first month working on Instagram, I found that my friend had a new Instagram account called Van Lifers, people that live in vans.
Oh, cool.
So he's like, oh, did you see my new Instagram? I'm like, Van Lifers, 104,000 followers. I'm like, what the? Nah, it's not his. I'm like, nah. He's not even traveling right now. So he's like just a bunch of people. I'm like, no, maybe he's just like doing like a collaboration. He's helping like with some pictures because he's a photographer. Something is weird. I couldn't understand what was going on, right? But I was like, I'm 100% sure my friend out of nowhere don't have 104,000 followers on Instagram. So we keep working for 2 months. And after 2 months, we went from 500 followers to 700 followers. And we couldn't grow. It was just like fucking hard. So the first week back in Brazil, first week, I'm like, we need to go to our friend's house. So we go to our friend's house to drink coffee. And we sat down and I'm like, Andre, what the fuck's going on? Tell me the truth. What's going on with this Instagram? Is that yours? And he's like, yes, that's 100% mine. I'm like, what? No, I started from scratch. That's mine. I'm like, how did you manage to grow to 104,000? I cannot get over 700. Something's wrong. And he's like, no, Duca, Instagram back then, now the algorithm changed a lot, but it's about beautiful pictures every day.
Yeah.
If you have your own project, it's really tough to have a good quality content every single day of the year or three times a day. You don't do like interesting things every single day. So this Instagram is basically a repost Instagram that I get pictures from people traveling all over the world. And in this way, I can guarantee that I have good content because there's always someone with good content. I'm like, fuck, but how did you do that? I mean, like, did you ask for permission or how did that work? He's like, fuck. In the beginning, I just found pictures. I would just get someone's picture and post and, of course, give the credit. And he was like, no, but of course, I gave the credit. Like, I put the credit. I put the description that, you know, like, I full credit to the person. Nowadays, it's a problem to do that. Back then was fine for most of the time, but his Instagram started growing so quick. And after like a month or two, he didn't need to find pictures anymore because people would hashtag him, ask him to post on his Instagram. So he became someone that would just do the, I don't know how you call it, like just choose the pictures, you know? So people would ask him to put the pictures and he started growing so much. I'm like, fuck, you're lucky. You're just like way too lucky. And this guy might be the responsible for us being here today. And he's actually one of our patrons now. He's a really old, good friend. And he's like, so aren't you guys going to build a shipping container house? I'm like, yes, a tiny house, yes. And he's like, so why don't you start a tiny house Instagram and grow the Instagram? And from there, you try to bring these people to your house. I'm like, fuck yes. Well, like, we started the idea that we are not going to launch the channel until we reach 20,000 followers on Instagram. That was the goal. When we reach 20,000 followers, so we create a secondary Instagram that's not even Odd Life Crafting. So I don't know if anyone knows, but it's called Living Time Project.
I was checking. We have 151,000 followers.
Yeah, so we...
Let's have a look. Let's see what's going on here. What is it again?
It's been a long time we don't post on Living Time, but...
I don't have time for this.
Yeah, Living Time Project. Living Tiny Project.
Living Tiny Project. I'll follow this because I love tiny homes.
Yeah, so basically what we create an Instagram in order to grow an audience for that Instagram that is interested on the same thing we want to do.
Yeah.
But no one knew that Living Tiny and Odd Life are the same thing. That is not clear there. But
yeah.
We had 20,000 people that once a week we could go and post the link for our video of the week.
Exactly.
And in the beginning that like the algorithm of YouTube won't even see you, we had our own audience to bring to the video.
Yeah, you could direct some people to it already.
So that's how the channel is starting to grow even before the algorithm helped to grow.
Yeah.
Of course, we got to a point that we didn't need the Instagram anymore. But that was like literally a side project to jump into another project and actually worked so well, really, really well. I mean, open up doors, people get to know you, you can show what you do. And
it's a nice one because I have a gallery to search for
references.
Yeah.
And even for the shipping container house.
I'm going to take a look through that. Like, there's some gorgeous, properties in there.
Yeah, in the shipping container house, that was like a research.
Yeah.
For the design of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the same time, we were searching for what to do with our own house, but we are growing an audience here to bring there. And that was a way,
because I've done the same. I did the same. Yeah. But, well, I started the podcast, and then I was like, okay, maybe people won't listen if nobody knows where it is or what it is. So I was like, I'll do an Instagram account. I had no experience on it. But then loads of people started following that, and then people send really nice messages. And
but they're the same. But they're the same account, but with the same name, right?
Yeah. So that's like Ocean Cruises Instagram.
Yeah. But imagine if you create an Instagram that's not related to the other product directly, but there is a huge potential of growing much faster.
Well, we will because, do this also, because when we start cruising, we're going to do charters, like liveaboard experiences,
yeah.
And I'll post stuff on there to, because there may be some customers there, you know what I mean? So
yeah, because it's like a crossover.
In a way.
Exactly. Yeah, because I mean, like, it's so much easier to grow an Instagram when you guarantee good content every single day.
Yeah.
A personal account is really hard to grow. It's like a personal account is just like always the same person, always the same story. Or it's much harder to grow. But when it is just a random, like, good stories every single day, it makes it easier.
And
I mean,
it's funny because we did a friend, we helped a friend to create an Instagram about container houses, about container buildings in general. And he created an Instagram about containers. And he started posting just containers, and every time he posted our video about the shipping container house, we still grow until nowadays.
No way.
We're still growing. Yeah.
That's just the only way we can grow Instagram, is just like we're just like sideways, and like anytime he just a little collaboration here and there, and then grows a little bit. But that's so
Instagram's crazy. Like I put stuff on there. Well, for two reasons. Well, actually, I put some of my own photos on now because we've like found our boats and all that type of stuff. So to promote the podcast, so I put a photo of you guys on there and say, we've just spoke, and then I'll put like a little trailer on there. But then also to help other people grow their Instagram accounts. Like if I've got more followers than them, and then they always come back and say, we just saw a spike in followers. So it works.
Yep. Basically, that's
collaborations are great.
Yeah, Instagram is tough. We are trying to post more up to date things on Instagram. So we don't even post anymore about the video of the week.
No.
Because it gets confusing. If we post about the week video, that means it's 2 months ago, and then we post something about today, and then it's just like, so we just now we just left like Instagram is daily. It's daily. It's like what happened today. Yeah. And YouTube is like 2 months ago. So otherwise it's just too confusing for us.
Well, that also gives people to watch on YouTube a very good reason to follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, and if you do the same thing, and for me, doesn't make sense to do the same thing on both platforms. Otherwise, people are just going to follow on one or on the other. It's just the same thing.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a really
if you do
point.
Different things on each platform, I think it's better.
So what's happening in the future? The plan was to sail around the world.
Yeah, the plan is to sail until it stops being fun.
Yeah.
We have like short and medium term goals. So Brazil has a really long coast, and you can sail up and down any time of the year, but there are easier times and worse times to go north or south.
Yeah.
So the season to start going north just started now.
Yeah.
So that some people don't understand, like, oh, it's tough to have a YouTube channel sometimes, and so many people watching what you do and judging what you do. So after 2 years refitting the boat on the boatyard full time, people expect that you splash the boat and you cross the Atlantic next week. And that's not reality, to be honest. Not my reality. Not Roberto's reality. That's
life, not. You know what I mean?
I have no...
We are still learning.
We are not in a hurry.
No, and we are still learning the boat systems. Like we broke the quadrant like three times. And
no, we are still finishing the boat. Like we are, you know, like we have like a long shaking now cruise that we are like fixing things and getting things better. Like the past month, we've been on a marina just to do some refit on the boat, like some modifications that we wanted after almost a year sailing.
Yeah.
And we've been here full time working on the boat for like almost a month already. We're leaving 2 days.
Yeah.
And the modifications we did now are like really important ones, like more solar panels. We fixed the quadrant. We replaced, which is like a lot of like
the canvas.
We did some modifications because it was not good enough. And so we did a lot of good things on the boat. And the reason for that is because we want to take the time to do it properly. We wanted to get to know the places properly. Some places we stop it to, we're like, no, let's sleep one night on this anchorage. We spend like 2 weeks on anchorage. We were supposed to stay one night because it's good. Stay. That's it, basically.
Yeah. But the plan for now is to go into the north part of Brazil until December. And in December, in December, go to the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's basically. Yeah, basically, we were waiting because we are in a really beautiful region right now. Probably most of the people would say the most pretty coast of Brazil, the place where we are, has like over 350 islands. Beautiful weather, beautiful place. And we are here enjoying this region until we start going north when the south wind starts to blow more often. Because from now on, we're going to start having more south wind. But the window changes in like 3 months from now. So in 3 months from now, we start having too much north wind in the beginning of this trip. So we have a few crossings until one of the corners of Brazil, the bottom corner. In this corner, if you do with south winds, all good. But if you get north wind, it could be like 40 knots against, with current against, and a lot of ships. And it's like, there is no need for that. Why?
No, it's the wrong time of year.
The wrong time. So we are waiting for the right window. And now we are actually waiting another month because it was supposed to be the day after tomorrow. No, it was supposed to be tomorrow, actually. We're going to have our first patron sailing with us. So he was supposed to arrive tomorrow. So we got COVID. That's why we delay a week the podcast. Yeah, we were supposed to record
a podcast. Still get COVID. It's crazy. It's been like 3 years.
So we got COVID right in time to get better, and the patron arrived. And yesterday, our patron got COVID in the US.
Oh, what?
So now he's going to delay another week until he comes. So we're going to wait for another week until he comes, and he's going to sail with us full time for 10 days. That's one of the things we really wanted to do for so long, is to have one of the guys that made what we do possible.
Waiting for him as well. Like, you changed your plans, you know, to give him his experience. So good on you.
Yeah, and we really want to have him on this region because it's so beautiful. And maybe now that we delay a little bit, he might do a crossing with us to Rio de Janeiro.
He has no sailing experience.
Yeah, but Rio de Janeiro, you heard about Rio, probably.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Popular place.
I've been in Rio one time in my life, two times, and I don't know Rio at all. I was a kid. I don't know the place, and it's beautiful. The anchorage where we arrived is just so beautiful. And arriving in Rio by boat must be like a really awesome experience that he might be with us. And that's going to be just so cool. And we've been, talking a lot the past few weeks to organize the trip. And that's the reason why we're waiting a little bit longer, because we want him to have the best trip of his life, basically. And here is the place to do that. And from there,
how did you select this guy? Because I take it you've got quite a lot of patrons and supporters. How did this guy get this amazing opportunity?
It was like a draft. A number, just a random number. We have like 330 patrons. We thought like our patrons are spread all over the world. I'm like, there's no way the first person will be able to come, so we're going to draw 10 names. We try the first one. If he wants, he comes. The second, and after 10, we draw another 10 until we find someone that's willing to come all the way to Brazil, because it's really far. And I mean, COVID, and people work, people have their job, and there's COVID and all that. And the first person to get chosen, he was like, I never travel on an airplane since COVID hit, and I don't think it's the right timing to do it. I really don't want to travel right now, but I cannot say no, so I'm coming.
Amazing. And that was the first one as well.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And he arrives on the 17th. He's like in 12 days from now.
Oh, he's going to have such a good time. That's really good. I did a podcast with a guy called James. He's got a channel called Zingaro.
Yeah, we know. We say on Zingaro, actually. We went to Panama last year. We say on Zingaro.
Yeah, so I'm sailing with James in a couple of weeks, actually. He's bringing a boat over to Europe. I'm meeting up with him in the Azores, Portuguese islands, and then we're taking it to Ibiza.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he does similar things. So he meets up with his patrons and he takes them sailing. And it's like, that's an amazing experience to give someone. Yep. It's great that you do that. Like, I think, I'm not saying the other YouTube channels aren't good at all. I'm just saying, like, that is a really cool thing to do for people.
Yeah, so the idea now is to wait for him, go to Rio, and from Rio we start going north with the goal of reaching the corner, the northeast corner of Brazil by October. So if we manage to get there by October, we leave the boat there. We fly to the US for the Annapolis boat show again. We went last year, was awesome. We want to go to the boat show again. We met James on the boat show. So we fly to the US, go to the boat show, fly back to Brazil, prepare the boat for a month, and in December cross the Caribbean. From there, I have no idea.
Yeah, but that's good. Like, just aim for that. That's a great start.
I mean, like, from there, it all depends. Like, how do the boat behaves on this trip? Do we lock the boat? Because right now, we don't have the enough experience to guarantee we love the boat. We like so far. But we've been, you know, changing things here, there, and getting to know the boat better. I think by the Caribbean, we're going to know 100% if that's the boat. If it's not, if we want to sail to Europe after the season on the Caribbean, if we want to go to the Pacific, if we want to take maybe 6 months refit again in Panama to do some modifications that we found out on this trip that could be done, who knows? I have no idea.
Yeah. But, you know, like, you just, the way you've built that boat, I've got to be honest, guys, like, I watched, I think it was maybe like video 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever, when you got the boat. And that's when I was like, oh, those are the guys who were building the steel container home. And I looked at the boat and I was like, this is a fucking disaster. Like, this is not going to work. The interior was great, but the exterior, the engine, the electrical systems, navigation, plumbing, I was like, that is massive. And then when you were saying that you've never worked on boats before, I was like, God bless them. You know, I was like, this could go terribly. Well, I mean, well, you've done an amazing job.
Yeah, we had a small 26-foot boat before. We had a 19-foot and a 26-foot boat.
But
it's our third boat.
But
it was so good. When we bought, we didn't
do anything. I mean, for refitting.
Yeah, there was nothing to be done. You know, the boat was in a really good shape.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, once you commit to what you really want, and if it's really your dream, you can do anything. It's just a matter of wanting to do. And the boat, the reality is, we received two kind of emails and messages when we bought the boat. Half of them, maybe 90% of them, would be like, this boat is not worth shit. This boat is condemned. This boat, there is a reason why no one bought this boat before in 22 years.
Oh, that's silly. I wouldn't agree with that. Like, it was in a tough shape, but definitely fixable.
No, that was 90%. And then there was the 10%.
Oh, that's stupid.
And then there was the 10% that we received emails like, what the fuck? How could you buy this boat? The owner never even let me inside to see the boat. So many people tried to buy the boat, but he never wanted to sell the
boat.
Even friend of ours. We met so many people because of the story of this boat. he didn't want to sell. It's not because the boat wasn't... He just didn't want to sell. And even though from the outside it looks bad, the structure of the boat was...
Yeah.
Perfect condition. You have no idea. Yeah. The welds of the hull. It's just like the only fixings that we had, rust that we have, was on the deck because of wooden trim, because the wood would hold moisture on the bottom of the wood and like tiny spot, like 8 tiny spots this big. That's nothing. Nothing on the sides, nothing on the bottom. The inside of the plates are just in perfect condition, and a metal boat rusts from inside out, not from outside in. Inside is just if you see the plates of metal, it's just like people are like, no, because you need to do a scan because this boat's condemned. I'm like, you have no idea, there's no rust. The primer is the original primer for 30 years and it's still in good condition.
I mean, obviously it's been on the hard for a long time, but even prior to that, it's just been very well maintained.
It has to be,
but I think you get that more with steel boats than you do with like fiberglass boats. I think people love steel boats more. They become like a bit more attached to them and work on them.
Once someone told me, a guy that I think is one of the main like metal boat sailboat builder in Brazil back 3 years ago, he's like, a metal boat need to be well conceived, need to be well built with a good design, with no design problems. If the design is good and you build really well, it lasts for so long. If the design is bad and it's not built well, it lasts for 2 years. Because you have like places that the condensation hold water, and then there's this, and there's like a lot of small problems. This boat was built professionally by I would say even better than a boatyard, because what happened is that the company that built this boat was not a boatyard. It was a company that built machines. And somehow the owner of the company wanted to build boats on the spare time of his employees. So he had a company for years. And when he decided to build a boat, a lot different than a lot of people do, because like, let's say I want to build a boat. Sometimes people are like, oh, I want to build a boat. So I draw the boat, I design the boat, but I have no experience. It doesn't work. So the guy knew he couldn't design a boat. So he went to Europe and he bought the design from the best designers he could find. So he bought, there is a boatyard in French called, Meta Boatyard.
Okay.
Meta. So Meta exists until today. It's a really good boatyard. And back then, Gilbert and Nivelle, two designers, they work for Meta. And they do all sorts of boats that go to Antarctica and traveling boats, and they're really good. So they bought the design from Meta, and they build professionally in Brazil with such good quality. The welds are little, it's just beautiful. It's just like the way they build the boats, just, and the solutions of the boat is good because there was a good design, first of all.
Yeah. So, I mean, the bones of the boat, the structure was just in absolute perfect order. You basically just needed to redo everything inside.
Yeah, just systems. I mean, like, just like the plumbing system, we did 100%. The electrical system, to be honest, we just did the electrical panel. Yeah, just the panel.
We the still rest. Need to do the external panel.
Yeah, just external. Lights. Yeah, it works. We could get better. But the electronics, of course, 30 years old, they're outdated.
Yeah.
So electronics, we replace everything. We paint the exterior. We decide to replace the mess for a better mess.
Sales.
And yeah, sales, new sales. And new engine, we decided to put it in. All of that's because the channel started going well and could afford to do that. We didn't need to do that, but the channel opened up doors. For example, when we thought about replacing the mess, because the old owner said, yeah, this mess is really heavy, there's this problem and this problem, and I'm like, so how about we sell this mess and we buy a brand new one? And people on the boatyard will be like, no one sells mess, old mess, forget it, you sell for the scrap aluminium, you just sell to a junkyard. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure we can sell a mess. And it's like, he couldn't believe, no one could believe. So we put in one video that we want to sell our mess, and we sold in a week.
So YouTube can sell masks.
Yes, YouTube can sell mess, and we sold for 1/3 of the price of the brand new mess and brand new rigging. So we got it. So it was like, so we got a sponsor for, so we got sponsor for like turnbuckles and for like furling system. And then we sold the mess. It was like everything worked so well.
Yeah.
And even the money to pay for the mess that we need, right on the same month, we did like three sponsor videos that people complain sometimes. Like, oh, we did like an Audible sponsor video, and we did a Skillshare sponsor video.
And a coffee one.
And a coffee one. But that paid for the mess. How shouldn't I do that? I mean, like, first of all, I like the company. I like the products. Audible, I like Skillshare, and we drink coffee every single day. We love
it's
like
coffee would be a good one. I do a coffee one.
I mean, like, we got paid to drink coffee for like 3 months.
Good one.
I was like, they pay for my mess and I drink good coffee. Why shouldn't I take this sponsor deal?
Yeah, it's a great deal.
And even though it makes completely sense, some people complain, of course, because you know, like, you're selling out, whatever, I don't know, it's just, you know, YouTube.
Man, ignore these people. I was having a discussion with the guys. We're doing something else. I'll tell you about it after the podcast. We're having a discussion about these, like, negative people. I'm like, what is going on? Why would you do? I've never, like, left a bad review on an application. I've never left a bad review online for anything. I've never left a negative comment. I just don't understand that. Like, let people have a good life and try hard.
We got some bad comments in the beginning of the boat because people didn't believe on the boat and didn't believe that we could do the job. And that was the beginning. And then after a while, I think people understood, no, these guys can do it. I mean, like, they can pull this one off. And it was fine for years, like 2 years, almost 3 years.
And then
being
like, you guys don't want to go to the water. That's true.
You are just like holding on the boatyard because you want to make money out of YouTube. Yeah, you're going to sail this boat and go back to the house. You're never going to, this boat's going to sink or whatever. I'm like, No, we are taking the time because we think it's important to take the time and do it properly. But people are just complaining that. And after we splashed the boat and we set sail, things got better. And then suddenly in December this year, 6 months ago, we went to the US for a job, a side job. That's a funny story. I don't know if you heard of, we did like a TV commercial. So we got hired.
What was it?
Yeah, one of our subscribers, he's a CEO of a company that owns the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, no, I know that because I follow you guys on Instagram. And yeah. You posted, did you open or close the market? One of the
that was like a month ago, yeah.
Right. But that was crazy. That was really
Yeah, so time. that was the launch. That was the launch of the commercial. That's why Roberto closed the day of the stocks, because that was the launch of the commercial. And when we went to the States, by chance, I'm like, fuck, we are all the way in the US. We met the guys from Sell the Mess in the boat show 2 months before that. I'm like, we could rent a car and drive. We're in Florida. We can drive to South Carolina and visit Sell Them. I mean, like, when are we going to be here again? So we called them up and we went to spend 3 days in the factory with them, getting to know Seldom Factory.
Brilliant.
And on the way to Seldom, we were like, oh, let's stop to visit a friend on the way so we can, you know, instead of 9 hours, we can drive like 2 hours and then another 6 hours. And you interview her already. I actually just watched your podcast with her, Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's lovely. She's such a nice girl.
Yeah, that was, I think.
Yeah, that was last year, I think.
Yeah, it was right. We were doing the math. It was right when we went to visit her, actually.
Oh, cool. So cool.
So we stopped to talk to Taylor, and that was so awesome. Yeah, the cool thing is that right when we arrived back from the States, we start sailing together with another boat, like buddy boats, with a guy that we met in the last marina we stayed. And he is a doctor. He took a gap year just to sail on his boat, and he lives with his dog. So it's him and his dog. And we became really good friends. And I had no idea he would let me do a tattoo on him. And when I arrived back with the tattoo machine, I was like, no. That's so I did, on the first night, I did 3 on him.
No way.
I started learning with him. Yeah, he was the guinea pig. Like, he was the one that I did the mistakes, for sure. But he was on the same mentality as I was. So he don't care. He's fine. He has no problem with the little, I don't know, bad line that I did on him. Because the memory is more important than the drawing itself. And
yeah,
that
sure.
taught me a lot. And that was so cool. For example, one of the tattoos that... And actually, it's not just tattooing, giving the opportunity for people to get a tattoo, but it's also the opportunity to give other people the opportunity to tattoo themselves.
Yeah.
So basically, I have a tattoo machine. If you want to tattoo yourself, you come to my board. I'm like, I'm going to teach you and you can do it on yourself. And it's such a cool... I did 2 on myself already. And it's so cool. It's just like the coolest experience. So this, we were in an anchorage that we arrived. There were so many mosquitoes. We hated the first night. And we're like, we need to leave. This place is terrible. And then the next day, we found out that we could fish squids on that anchorage.
Okay. And
we're like, oh, it's not that bad. Let's go fish squids then. So we're like, so let's fish squids. If we catch 50 squids, we're going to tattoo a squid. And then we went fishing. And for 4 hours during the night, because it's during the night, at one point, we were like exhausted, like, no, we gave up. That's it. So we came back and we count 39. We didn't catch 50. Fuck. Next day, we were like, no, let's try again. So we went again out and we got in 1 hour, 150 squids in 1 hour.
What? How did you catch so many squids so quick?
We ate during 3 weeks, all squids for 5 people.
So you had just like calamari.
Yeah, just like calamari, yeah. All kinds, like, with, like, pasta, with rice, with this, with that, with everything.
Oh, that's a great life. So, I totally do that.
After you catch 150 squids with good friends during a night, how can you not get the tattoo? I'm like, no, we're doing the tattoo. So we did the same tattoo we have, but I did on myself and he did on himself.
That's really good. That's a cool story.
Yeah, but people hated the video. That's a video.
What's wrong with
yeah, it's, I don't get it. Well, happens.
No, man, listen, you've got where you are by ignoring everyone who's giving you bad advice or
for
negativity.
I'm pretty sure I will remember this day as long as I live. Anytime I look to my leg, I see every time I look at my leg, I see a squid, and I remember when we got 150 squids. That's it. It's not the perfect tattoo. It's much better than I thought it would be, to be honest. I think I did a really good job. I love it. It's one of my favorite. I really like that. Yeah. And it seems like it's weird. It seems like now that it's fully healed, it's better than before even. And I will always remember that day that we got the squids. Just that's it.
Well, yeah, it means something. It's, you know, it's there to like represent the experience. Mate, it's going to be very interesting. Maybe in 20 years' time, you're going to be one of these people that's just like head to toe green, you know, completely covered in memories.
And it's cool because, you know, like, it's, you give meaning, like, for example, the trip to Taylor's boat. I look to her boyfriend's boat on my leg, and I have the coordinates of the place even tattooed. Like, yeah. I remember 100%. That was a really, that was like a crazy trip. That was like, how can I not get a tattoo? In out of nowhere, a company hired us to go to the US to film a commercial. They sent a private jet to pick us up in Brazil and to take us back to our hometown straight.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the two of us. We have like a great week of shooting. Like, we were just waiting for the day of the shooting. And there was, yeah, we had nothing to do. Like, there was like 50 people running around to get things ready for the commercial. And we just sat around and eat for like 4 days. Like, eat so well. It's so good. It was like the dream job, you know, like just sit there, hang out, eat a little bit more. And then we shot one day and then we go to these friends on their boat. And I was like, that's a moment that I want to remember always.
Yeah, yeah, good memories.
That's it. I'm pretty sure in 10 years I will have a lot of tattoos to remember a lot of moments.
And we also went foiling with Tulas and El Simo.
Yeah, that was a crazy trip. That was like, and that's because we are a sailing channel, supposedly, but we don't want just to be a sailing channel. We want to be a channel about our dreams. That's it. That's all. I don't know if in 3 years from now I won't take like 6 months off to go van life in Europe for 6 months. Who knows? I might do it. We might do it. Why not? We want to be someone that fully follow our dreams every day. And to be honest, as soon as we start doing like unexpected things, the channel starts going down. And that's just the worst thing for me, because that's the moment that I'm more passionate about what we do. Like, I always wanted a job that we are open. You know, like, you invited me to go to Spain and we fly tomorrow to Spain. We went to the boat show in Annapolis. We needed to do quarantine in order to go to the US because of COVID for 15 days. We had nowhere to do quarantine. I found out that Parlay Revival calling from Parlay was in Panama. I never met him before. He never heard of us. I messaged him on WhatsApp and on Instagram. I'm like, hey, we are going to go to the boat show. You are going to go to the boat show. We need to do quarantine. Can we stay in your boat for 15 days? If yes, can you say today? Because we need to arrive tomorrow. Literally, like, let me know today. He's like, call me now. And we call. And the next night, we were in Parlay for 2 weeks. So that's the life I want. I want a life that I don't know what's going to happen a month from now. And I wanted to do videos that people don't really know what's going to happen 2 months. But they trust that's going to be something cool. And they keep coming for something cool. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, when it's out of, you're like, oh, I like that channel that I'm not sure what they're going to do in 6 months. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be something interesting. And once we started actually leaving that, is when people started liking less the content. When we started actually living the life we fully want, like getting hired to do a commercial and flying to the US and coming back and sail for 3 months in a nice river and then going back to the US for a boat show. And then so when we started being more unexpected, when we started being less predictable, that's when the audience started liking less. That's crazy for me because I don't like when it's too predictable. When I watch a channel for too long that I know what's going to happen next week, it stopped being fun for me.
I think this is just the way these things work, you know. Well, it's like if you watched your favorite TV show, Friends, for example, then one episode for the rest of the entire series, they just weren't friends. You'd be like, well, I'm gone. I want the friends. You know, people go to the source because that is exactly what they're looking for. So if you change the nature of it, you'll change the audience, but you'll get new people.
It's crazy. I mean, like, we are doing like a shrink appointment right now.
It sounds like
we need to tell someone. Yeah, we need to talk to someone. You know, it's just yeah, it's crazy. Like having a YouTube channel full time sometimes is crazy if you pay attention to comments, if you pay attention to the audience, and it's natural.
You can't.
Yeah, you can, but it's hard not to at the same time. You know, like we read
all the comments. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You can't, but you should at the same time, but you shouldn't. It's just
we used to answer every single comment.
Yeah.
I try to do that because I want to engage with as many people as possible. I don't get that many negative ones, but I don't do YouTube. I only do the Instagram and the podcast, so I don't really get any of that. But I just delete them. Like you get some of the comments that people put on these YouTube videos. Some of them are racist, sexist.
If it's aggressive, any aggressive or either aggressive or talking about Roberto, because we don't give the freedom of people doing that. Like we are not a channel that is showing ass in tits all the time. You know, like I'm not against that. I'm not saying anything against other channels that do that. But if you do that, you're willing to have people talk about that.
Yeah.
But if I don't do that, that means I don't want people to, you know, start talking shit about Roberto, and that's it. We delete it. We don't need this kind of comment because
that's true.
Kids watch our channel, literally. Yeah. Like we go to the boat show and come 5 years old that been watching for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's
I definitely agree with it from that perspective. Like, you know, and that's your work. And do you really want the conversation around your work to be filled with negativity? No. So just get rid of it.
To put in less words, life has been really good for the past months. Channel not being great, but life has been the best ever been.
The thing is, it's just like if you are living the type of life that you want to live and it makes you happy and fulfilled, whatever comes out of that will be positive. Nothing negative can come from that. So whatever shit is going on now, it will just move on. It will digress and other good stuff will come out of it.
So are you going to Annapolis this year?
You know, I've never even thought about going. I've never had a conversation about it. You just mentioned it then, and I was like, oh, that might be interesting.
Yeah, I always wanted to go. It's a funny story. Oh, yeah.
Propaganda.
So
is that it?
I always wanted to go, but then came COVID, and they didn't have for a year, and I'm like, fuck. And then last year, I was like, we want to go, but then there's quarantine. It's not possible. It's just too expensive to do quarantine anywhere. And then it's a funny story. I don't remember if I think I told you. I told Colin. So Colin from Parlay posts in stories on Instagram.
Yeah.
A little bit before that, I messaged Jade from Expedition Evans to ask about a camera because they were using the camera that I want to buy. Yeah. So I messaged her 6 months before and they never answered. And 6 months later, she answered and talked about the camera. And she's like, oh, are you guys going to Annapolis this year? And I answered we wish we could, but no, it's not possible because of COVID, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, if you decide to come, email this guy because he's organizing a booth with all the YouTube channels and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. But I'm like, okay, sure, but I won't. It's just like, we cannot do it. And she's like, oh, I'm going to let him know anyways, just to let him know that you might contact him. So a month passed by and Colin posts on Instagram. Oh, I'm going to be in Annapolis in 2 weeks from now and with this and this channel. And he tagged us. I never talked to him. I've been watching him for a while. I know who he is. I had no idea he knows who we are. And he posts Odd Life Crafting's going, these. I'm like,
there was obviously a conspiracy to get you to go there.
And literally, I'm not joking, literally, I'm like, that was Saturday, no, Sunday. I'm like, if Colin posted that we're going to go to Annapolis, we'd rather go. I think that might be a sign. I think we should go to Annapolis. And I'm like, if he knows, and a day before that, we found out that we could go to Panama. We didn't know Panama could be quarantined because a sponsor said Panama could be an option. And I'm like, so Colin said we are going to go. He at least know we exist. He posts our name. So I message him. I DM him on Instagram. Hey, I'm Duca. We want to go to Annapolis. You post us. Can we go to your boat tomorrow? Next day we're in Panama for 2 weeks.
Then we did,
so it's really quick.
And then we stay at Evans Boat in Annapolis.
In Annapolis, we stay at Evans Boat for the week.
Oh, nice. Colin just seems like such a cool guy. And I've through cruising and he's sailing in different locations, I've met quite a few people who've spent time with him. And everybody just says he's just a real dude.
He's awesome. We spent literally, we spent 15 days on his boat and we were part of the family 100%. We were like,
yeah, I get that from it. Yeah,
yeah. Yo, we were like,
I've never actually spoken to him.
No, he's a really, really awesome guy. Genuinely, he's a really, really awesome, really hard worker and really awesome guy. He's a good friend now. It was someone that literally I messaged today. Tomorrow I'm at his book. It's just like, that's the life I want. I want to be, I want to new things to happen out of nowhere.
Listen, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. And who knows if I do end up going to Annapolis or some other time. I'd love to meet you and spend some time with you.
I can't wait
to follow your story.
And we cannot invite everyone that's watching or listening to that to come to the boat, but we can invite you. If anytime, so anytime in between now and October, if you feel like coming to Brazil, we have a cabin. Just come and we can do a crossing with us. Anytime you feel.